The reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 14, starting to read at verse 21. The return to Antioch in Syria. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. But the words in that passage that stuck out really to me are contained in verse 22, where it says that having strengthened the disciples and encouraged them to remain true to the faith, Paul and Barnabas said, "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." There are twisted versions of true Christianity which do not have this as part of their teaching. And this does Christians a great disservice, I think, because it means when troubles, difficulties, persecutions, trials and temptations come, we may not be prepared. If we're sold the lie that Christianity is an easy path of continual success, straightforward victories, material and relational blessings, then we'll be left feeling at some point disillusioned. Paul and Barnabas wanted to be straight with the new disciples that they were leaving behind. All the mature Christians I know are people who have been through or are going through real hardships. Rose was a woman who many of us had a lot of respect and affection for. She carried her share of pain and sadness and disappointment. She knew the stress and the burden, really, of leadership of school communities, both as a head teacher at Bledlow Ridge and as chair of the governance of Aylesbury Vale Academy School, with the fearsome challenges that involves. Appointing head teachers and senior staff members, managing people, handling difficult and painful disciplinary matters relating to both pupils and staff, stretching limited resources, meeting both government expectations and those of the local community, overseeing change. Without a husband to support her, she carried much on her shoulders alone. She could have put her feet up and enjoyed retirement from teaching. But no, she had a sense of vocation, a lifelong sense of calling to help transform schools and communities. Voluntarily taking the unpaid role of a chair of governance, which consumes a huge degree of time and energy. The principal of Aylesbury Vale Academy said that her contribution to the school was invaluable, and her support for him had been amazing over the years. And she'll be sorely missed in that school community as well as here. She was such a valued colleague of mine in church leadership, being a member of our PCC and standing committee, and taking the role of safeguarding lead in this church, a very important role. As soon as she agreed to take on that role, to my great relief, we then almost immediately had a number of safeguarding issues that came up, for which I was very grateful for her wisdom, her knowledge and experience. And Roz told you how it was, and she cut through a lot of the nonsense and wishy-washiness and just gave her advice in a forthright and frank way. In the past, Roz was involved in our children, children's ministry. And she had a great understanding of how to relate to children, even though she didn't have biological children of her own. She kind of got children, particularly, I think, sort of boys between the age of 7 and 13. I remember when we first came to Aylesbury about 14 years ago, she came and babysat for us one time, and Ben, who's now nearly 20, was around 6 or 7, and kind of on the spectrum, and not always easy to relate to. And we came back, and Roz had been playing hide-and-seek with Ben, and she was crawling around the sofa, getting on his level on all fours. I think there was a bit of role-play with animals as well involved, and, you know, kind of pretending to be various different kinds of animals. And it was just fantastic to see. Amazing, really, this head teacher. High-powered, so gifted in, intellectually and as an executive person, just willing to do that with one of our children. Bereavement is certainly one of the hardships we must go through to enter the kingdom of heaven, as Paul and Barnabas said. And for Christian believers, this is bittersweet. Of course, we don't grieve as people without hope, because we believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And we believe that all those who love God and trust in him share in that resurrection to eternal life. But we are also, like Jesus, profoundly sad and troubled by death, because it's the very opposite of what we know we are called to, which is life, and life in all its fullness, as Jesus said. So at the grave of Lazarus, Jesus was not only sad, he wept, and was also greatly disturbed in his spirit. And therefore, grief is something that many of us are called to endure, even as we hope in Christ. The friendship forged by people who never marry, or who have been perhaps widows or widowers for many years, can often be of the deepest kind. And there's real sadness and pain this morning in our church community, which we should acknowledge. Being a church family, we should acknowledge we need to be there and support each other in a time like this, particularly